111 years ago, next Sabbath, a murder was committed in Bosnian capital Sarajevo. A murder which would shortly set the whole world on fire. I am, of course, referring to the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria, whose death sparked the chain of events that would lead to the beginning of World War I, just over a month later. A war so horrific it was dubbed the War to End All Wars. Unfortunately, that didn't quite turn out to be the case. War has impacted and pervaded every aspect of life under Satan's rule. Art, music, literature, history, education, economics, and so on. Today, I would like to look at just three different areas of music, economics, and education, and examine how they will be different in the future under the rule of Jesus Christ and the saints. So let's start with music. Much of this world's music deals with war or conflict of some kind. For instance, folk music often relates to tales of battle, such as the 18th of June, which was about Waterloo. Murders, such as the Four Marys, in which the narrator tells of being condemned to death for drowning her baby. Or bloody feuds, such as the Ballad of Glencoe, which tells of the massacre of the MacDonald clan at the hands of the Campbells. Folk music also invokes the feeling of despair and sorrow at the loss of loved ones. For instance, Johnny Has Gone for a Soldier, or the perennial favourite Loch Lomond, in which the singer, a Jacobite soldier condemned to hang, sings to his sweetheart how they will meet again, but only in spirit. Or of hatred of the foe, for instance, Men of Harlech or Scots Wahey. Pop music, on the other hand, particularly music from the mid-20th century, is often anti-war, in songs such as Glen Campbell's Universal Soldier, or Peter, Paul and Mary's Where Have All the Flowers Gone? Even children's songs and comedy music includes themes of war and of conflict, such as Snoopy versus the Red Baron, which was about World War I, and Johnny Horton's The Battle of New Orleans, which was about the War of 1812, which was originally written to help American high schoolers learn history. A lot of country music also focuses on war and fighting, or on patriotism, with songs such as Merle Haggard's The Fighting Side of Me, Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA, or Aaron Tippin's Where the Stars and Stripes and Eagles Fly. Classical music is not immune either. My wife did a quick survey of our classical music collection and found a number of pieces either inspired by or written for war, such as Franz Schubert's March Militaire, John Philip's Saus Semper Fidelis, I wish these were easier to pronounce, which became the official march of the US Marine Corps, Vincenzo Bellini's Warriors Chorus from Norma, William Walton's Spitfire Prelude and Fugue, John Williams' Hymn of the Fallen from the film Saving Private Ryan. Tchaikovsky's famous 1812 Overture was composed in 1880 to mark the completion of the Cathedral of Christ, the Saviour, which had been commissioned to celebrate the Russians' victory over Napoleon's troops at the 1812 Battle of Borodino. All in all, war has profoundly influenced the music that we listen to every day. But how will it be different in the future? If war is mentioned at all in music after Christ's return, it will not be glorifying battle, murder, or war, or lamenting the death of loved ones, but rather glorifying the King who fights all our battles for us. Rather, as Moses and the children of Israel did after God's spectacular defeat of the Egyptian army, as we read of in Exodus 15. So if you'd like to turn with me to Exodus 15, and we'll start reading in verse 1. That's Exodus 15, and we'll start verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them, they sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostril, the water was gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. And the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will devour the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy hand, and the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto the holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the Duke of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in, and plant them in the mountains of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in, and in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign for ever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess and the sister of Aaron took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. The focus isn't on violence or death, but rather on the wondrous protection that our Lord Father has shown to us. Now moving on to point two, economics. The economic system of this world relies on warfare in order to keep going. One of the surest ways for a country to get out of economic hardship is to enter a war. According to the Geneva Academy of International Humanitarian Law and Human Rights, across the world there are 114 armed conflicts in progress this moment, 115 with the ongoing fighting with Israel and Iran. Multiple trillions of dollars are spent each year on armaments and other military material, as we can see in a recent article from CNN, which stated, the world is arming itself at the fastest rate since near the end of the Cold War. According to a new report, as major wars rage in Ukraine and Gaza and military tensions spike from Europe to Asia, the 9.4% year-on-year rise to $2.71 trillion in the global military spending in 2024 is the highest figure ever recorded by the authoritative Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, or SIPRI, in its annual report, which warned that there is no end in sight to the spiralling global arms race. This is the highest rise since 1988, the year before the Berlin Wall fell. The United States, by far the world's biggest military spender, spends almost $1 trillion in 2024, the report stated. Big ticket items for the US budget included F-35 stealth fighters and their combat systems at $61.1 billion, new ships for the US Navy at $48 billion, modernizing the US nuclear arsenal at $37 billion, and the missile defense systems at a mere $29 billion. According to one source, in today's money, World War II would have cost $4 trillion. To put that into perspective, that's about a tenth of the total debt of the United States. We know from Ezekiel 38, verse 11, that in the future, people will be dwelling in unwalled villages. There will be no need for a military force of any kind, because Satan's influence of hatred and self-centeredness will be gone, and the government of God will be ruling the earth and protecting the people. Even though the monetary system will be vastly different in the future, just think of all the money that won't be spent on stockpiling weapons and the armies to use them. That immense sum will be put into bettering all of mankind. And finally, let's look at point three, education. At the present time, war features quite heavily in our educational system, with conflicts and competitions between classes, years, grades, and schools in both sports and academic achievements. It has gotten to the point that even primary school kids are being introduced to war, as the following article from the Daily Telegraph points out. Children are to be taught the value of British military in schools, the Daily Telegraph can reveal. A key recommendation within the Strategic Defence Review, which will be published on Monday, will state that school pupils should be educated on the importance of the armed forces. It is understood that lessons about the military will be designed to help young people learn about career opportunities with defence. In the world tomorrow, children will not learn about the military, but instead they will learn about peace, as we read in Isaiah 54 and verse 13. That's Isaiah 54, and we'll read verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. The re-education of the entire world won't just be restricted to children, as we read of in Micah 4, and we'll read verses 1 to 4. Please turn with me to Micah. Micah 4, and we'll read starting from verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. In conclusion, we have looked at how the world is totally immersed in war and conflict, from its music to its financial system to its education. So let's finish by reading a section from Tomorrow. What will it be like? Here Mr. Armstrong states, one of the great problems facing the returning glorified Christ will be that of re-education, re-educating the supposedly educated, These minds, and they are indeed the world's finest and best minds, have become so perverted with false education that they will be unable to accept truth until they first unlearn error. And it is at least 10 times more difficult to unlearn error firmly embedded in the mind than it is to start from scratch and learn new truth. It may actually take them longer to come to a knowledge of the truth, to become truly educated, than the illiterate of this world. God's inspired word, the Holy Bible, is the foundation of knowledge, but they have been trained to hold this true foundation in prejudiced contempt. Yes, indeed, the education and re-educating of the world will be one of the most important tasks the kingdom of God will face after Christ's return to rule. Today, people follow the false and deceptive values. Their entire thinking will require a reorientation, a change of direction. And Mr. Armstrong ends the entire book by saying, "A world filled with happy, radiating humans, guided, helped, protected, and ruled by former mortals made immortal, and all the humans realizing that they too may inherit everlasting life in supreme happiness and thrilling joy." What a fabulous picture.